In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Virgins, Saint Joseph, Saint Colette, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Colette, who we celebrate today in the Franciscan Order, is truly one of those kind of saints that has even, you know, more stories, you might say, associated with them than you might say the ordinary saint, if you can say such a thing, because she had some rather miraculous things happen to her in her life. First was that she was born rather stunted in growth, and she knew that her father was greatly distressed that she was not tall like she should be for her age, and she prayed and God made her grow miraculously to be a rather tall woman and rather beautiful. And she was afraid that her beauty might become a source of temptation or a snare for herself, so she prayed to God that he would do something about it, and it said that after that she had a rather stern look on her face. Wherever she went, she had a rather stern expression, which I guess made her less attractive. But she was unusual in that she was an anchoress. She closed herself up as a young woman to serve God as a anchoress. She was literally attached to a church with a little room built off to the side where she could look out and see the Blessed Sacrament, and she had no way to exit because they closed up the door after she entered into it, and that was a life of cloistered contemplation, and she thought that that's what God wanted her to do for her whole life, was to be a cloistered anchoress. But she began getting these inspirations that she wasn't sure they were from God, because they were telling her that she needed to go and reform and start a new branch of the Poor Clare's nuns. And she said, well, that can't be from God because I'm an anchoress. I'm enclosed in this cell. I can't get out. And so she finally felt so tormented by this inspiration that it kept giving her uneasiness. She said, okay, I can't do this because I'm enclosed, so it must not be from God. If it's from you, Lord, then you have to show me in some way that you want me to do this. And after she prayed, the wall of her little enclosed cell collapsed, and she was able to exit. So she took that as a sign from God that she was to go and start a Poor Clare reform, and she did so, and she was very successful in attracting young ladies to the more austere form of her contemplative life. There are many Colettine Poor Clare monasteries out there today. They are known for their great zeal and their poverty, and for their being quite successful in obtaining graces through their prayerful witness. One of the things that St. Colette said to her sisters when she gave them instructions and gave them, you might say, her wisdom of religious life, she said the importance of obedience. It's the greatest of the virtues in one sense, because it's that virtue is what, you might say, is the hallmark of God's faithful ones. It's disobedience that caused the whole problem with the human race and the condition that it fell into. It's disobedience which caused the devil to fall from, you know, the angel of light to become an angel of darkness. And it's obedience, she says, which obtains for us really the graces that we need. She says, if you obey God, God will obey you. In other words, if we do what God wants us to do, in fidelity to our vocation, to the graces that God gives us, then God will obey us in prayer. You can obtain. Jesus, you know, the prayer of an obedient soul, as she says, is one prayer of an obedient soul is more powerful than thousands of prayers from an unfaithful one. And this is something we must always keep in mind. It's probably why, in many cases, Our Lady at Fatima said that one of the things that needed to be done to help bring about, you might say, the renewal of the church and the world, when she told the children, was to be faithful to your state in life. Fidelity to your state in life is a very important means of obtaining grace. And so if we're faithful to our vocation as a married couple, or as a priest or religious, or faithful to whatever God has called us to, we observe the commandments, we try to live a virtuous life, that is the best thing that we can do to help bring about renewal and conversion of the world. For it's fidelity that is really the thing that brings down upon the world grace. And if we're faithful to what God has asked us to do, then our prayers will be heard, and we can be an effective means of evangelization in the world. We can see what unfaithfulness can do, especially of Catholics who don't follow the teaching of the church, and especially those in public office. They can do great damage to society and to the world. So we need to be faithful. We need to follow and obey, because that's where obedience is, obedire, to hear. We need to hear and to listen and to put into practice what the church teaches. And if we do that, then we can be, then we will bring grace down upon the world. Otherwise, if we're not, we'll only bring wrath, the wrath of God, down upon us and upon the world around us. Today in the gospel, our Lord, you know, sent out his apostles, the 12 that he chose. And because they were obedient to his command to go out and do this, you know, he even told them that the demons would be obedient to them when they could drive them out. And the importance that was attached to their faithful duty in carrying out the task that our Lord gave them to do, and help already preach and to heal and to cure the sick. He gave to his apostles the same gifts, the same work that he worked. Our Lord was curing the sick. He was preaching the good news. And already he sent the 12 out on a little test run, you might say, while he was still with them, before he, you know, endured the cross and the passion. He sent his apostles, the 12, out to preach and to do that which they would do later on after he would send them out, when he ascended into heaven, to carry on that task with truly the grace and the success that he would accompany with them. Today, as we look to St. Colette, you know, we can maybe look at our own lives and say, well, am I obedient to what God wants me to do? I've asked him to listen to my prayers. I've asked him to do something for me, and it seems he doesn't listen. Well, maybe the thing we need to look at is, are we listening to God? Are we obeying what he wants us to do? And are we doing it faithfully and with zeal and with love and concern to carry out his task? And then, if we find that we are, then we just persevere and continue to pray and ask God to show us the way. But if we're being unfaithful, if we're not doing all that we ought to do, that may be the reason why our prayers are not heard. It says in Scripture somewhere that a just man's prayer is powerful indeed, that it can obtain the conversion of many sinners. So we need to do what our Lord asks us to do, and as St. Colette says, he will then do what we ask him to do. Let us pray that, like Our Lady, that we will be that faithful servant, And because we are faithful, we also will be heard by our God in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.